Strategy and Insider, exploring future trends and their impacts.
Welcome to a new episode of the Strategy and Insider podcast. I am Thomas, your host of this podcast and a partner with Strategy and. We're happy to continue our discussions around the latest trends and innovations in healthcare with another insightful episode. And after talking to many guests from diverse healthcare areas, such as big pharma companies, startups, academia, hospitals, and many others, there are still topics that have remained, let's say, untouched in this podcast so far. And this is why I'm even more happy to delve into one of these untouched topics today, which is still underrated in the overall healthcare and pharma sectors, if you ask me. The topic I'm talking about is sustainability, one of the current megatrends for global societies as a whole, but also particularly relevant for healthcare players. And when coming here, I was astonished by the fact that worldwide, the healthcare industry is responsible for about 4.4% of total CO2 emissions, of which 70% stem from the supply chain. So it's definitely worth taking a deeper look into it. And to address this with proficiency, I'm joined by a leading expert in this area today. So a very warm welcome to Daniel Eriksson, who is the founder and CEO of the Nordic Center for Sustainable Healthcare, who is based in Malmö in the south of Sweden. Daniel himself founded the center back in 2015 with the aim to address sustainability challenges across the industry sectors, ranging from life sciences and medtech to hospital architecture and management. And the center's network brings together companies, hospitals, the public sector, universities, NGOs, and also other stakeholders to foster collaboration, projects, business, knowledge, and innovation on, meanwhile, four continents. All their members have an interest in creating a more sustainable healthcare sector, making best practices, green solutions, and knowledge from the Nordics more accessible on the global scene, while still learning from also other parts, of course, of the world. Daniel is also the CEO of TEM Foundation, T-E-M, which stands for Technology, Economy, and Environment. The foundation has since 1981 helped organizations to develop their sustainability work, but also runs projects and networks. And today, the Nordic Center for Sustainable Health is the core project for the foundation. His career started back in Malmö at the University Hospital as an environmental coordinator, where he already worked in sustainability healthcare back in 2002. And with now more than 20 years of experience in the area, he has been responsible for numerous delegations and conferences where healthcare actors across the world come together to share ideas for sustainable change. The latest being the 5th Nordic Conference on Sustainability Healthcare in October 2023, gathering hundreds of participants in Malmö as a yearly happening for sustainable health, all initiated and organized by the Nordic Center for Sustainable Healthcare. On the academic side, Daniel holds a master's degree in environment and communication studies from the Uppsala University, but has also participated in numerous research projects and peer-reviewed articles. So all in all, I think this emphasizes that I have one of the most proficient healthcare sustainability experts sitting on the other side of our virtual recording room today. So thanks very much for being my guest today, Daniel.
Thank you for having me.
As mentioned in my intro, you were involved in environment and sustainability long before the topic became the global megatrend it is today. What was it like to, let's say, advocate for environmental and sustainability questions in the early 2000s? And what is kind of the biggest change compared to today?
Thank you for the first question here. I usually say to newcomers in the field of sustainable healthcare that this has never been as easy as it is today. Those who are struggling with challenges still, there is of course a lot of obstacles, but it's much, much easier today, of course, than it was 20 years ago. We had to struggle a lot more. The community was much smaller back then. At least here in the Nordics, it was driven more on the side of legislations and more focused on waste chemicals, et cetera, rather than the bigger pictures. We can see now there's a lot of people starting up working in the fields. There are a lot of people who feel that sustainability in healthcare is something they would address from the university side, from the professionals, from doctors and so on. And that we didn't see back 20 years ago. It was us working more with the system, so to say. But there's a plus side and a downside to this, I would say. It's very good that a lot of people engage now. But as we see around Europe now, a lot of projects is starting up. And unfortunately, some of them are more on the side, you know, reinventing instead of building on knowledge that already exists. So in many cases, we see a lot of projects starting up with a lot of big institutions and big universities that really, really don't build on the knowledge that's already been conducted, at least here up in the Nordic, I would say. But to summarize the question, it has never been as easy as it is today.
That's interesting that you say that. It's never been that easy. If we look into where we are as society, but also following media, you get the impression that it's also never been as difficult as it's today. But we'll delve into that in a moment from here. The former UN chief negotiator for the Paris Climate Agreement, Cristiana Figueres, did shape a term around outrage and optimism as an approach for the fight against climate change. Outrage because it has taken so long to act on climate change at the scale necessary, while optimism because it is the deliberate mindset that we need for addressing any challenge if we want to have a chance for success. What describes your mindset better? Is it outraged or is it optimistic when it comes to the goal of sustainable future in healthcare?
I am optimistic, I would say. Even if we look at the scale and the effort, it's of course a little bit threatening for everyone, and we need to realize the scale, and there's a lot of things that need to be done. But I have a front row witness the development of legislations in Europe, for example. We have EU legislations now that we couldn't dream about 20 years ago. We have energy systems up here in the north that are basically fossil fuel free and a very low CO2 impact. We have the development within the energy or an energy sector and energy efficiency sector within all sectors, but also in healthcare, new materials, new innovations and so on. So there is, from where I stand, from my perspective, I think we have achieved a lot, and this could be achieved everywhere, I think. But there's also a need to be quite smart about this. As I mentioned in the earlier question, we need to use knowledge and achievements and base what we're doing on those and not reinvent the wheel. Because if we're going to reinvent the wheel, then we're never going to make it onto 2030, 2040, 2045, or whenever you set your goals. And you can say that today, no one is direct negative towards sustainability in healthcare, no matter if you speak to hospital director or regionals or representatives from agencies or state governments around the world. But they not always have the tools and the resources, especially when you're looking at the hospital side. But a lot of people in those organizations have the will and want to do things. And just by will and doing things, you will achieve quite a lot. And then if you then add on the innovations that already exist, then we can reach quite far, quite easy, even on a global scale, I would say.
Can I just chime in there, Daniel? Because you mentioned not reinvent unnecessarily and reuse of what there is already in terms of innovation around sustainability. Can you name one or two examples of what you think are already today great achievements that you should not reinvent and rather leverage to make a change?
Yeah, that's one of the reasons. We had actually an open webinar a few weeks ago together with partners in UK, for example, Centre for Sustainable Healthcare in Oxford. We discussed to start an organization working together just to avoid this reinventing the wheel that we see happening a lot now. There is basically no time for that. And it could be very easy things and how you define things and the strategies and how you organize it. Still practical innovations on energy and heating and cooling and district heating and so on. So there are a lot of good examples out there, both in the Nordics and in other countries, of course. And we are quite bad at learning from those. And that's the problem. And that's why I'm bringing it up. And it's something we're going to address the coming years, because we see the solution is there. Build innovations on existing innovations.
Sure. And of course, sustainability in itself starts obviously with us as individuals as well, also contributing our parts. And since I'm having the pleasure now speaking to you as one of the experts, are there any personal habits or practices that you have adopted in your own private life that makes you live more sustainable in your daily routine?
Yeah, I would say so. But for me, many of the things are happening quite automatic. So I don't think about it as sustainability. It's just the way I live my life. And even it goes from the Nordic society, where we have quite clean energy and we must separate the waste in many different fractions. We have a lot of systems in place to do this. And of course, I have a hybrid car since 10 years. I buy fossil fuel free energy in my house. I have heat pumps I can control with my app and, make it more efficient. I buy smart food. I travel with bus to my office every day. I actually have quite an impressive garden with vegetables every summer at home. But from my point of view, and that's on the plus side, the minus side, the worst thing you can do for the climate is get children. And I have three of them. So those three children eat up all the on the plus side that I do. But that's not my impact, so to say. I used to joke with people who ask, how are you, doing with climate on your personal basis? And I said, I have already climate compensated for my children, their children, and their children, and their children. Because my work is to get new innovations on the market, to actually get the achievements beyond and scale it. So my impact, it doesn't matter what I do as a private person. It's the small things. The big thing is what we do on the other side, the things we need to get to spread, the hospitals and regions that we get to implement these things are the biggest. But I try as good as I can.
But that's good to hear. And thanks for sharing those few personal facts also around gardening and stuff. When switching into more kind of the business side around sustainability, I mean, your profession, this is where obviously you can make even a bigger mark yourself, obviously. And I was very intrigued by reading in Global Data that ESG mentionings in company filing documents really increased significantly over the last years. And I've came across figures that in 2016, there were only 28,000 and below mentionings of that. In 2019, it already were 43,000. And in 2021, it were already 83,000 mentioning. So there must be also an angle of companies more and more getting into this area and then seeing this also as a fruitful business to invest into. And given the NCSH defines itself as an arena for stakeholders, organizations, projects, and expert knowledge in the sector of sustainable healthcare. I really like the term of arena. This is where, kind of in ancient times, the best athletes competed against each other. How do you perceive the role of the NCSH bringing those players together? Is it indeed an arena where the best ideas for sustainability come together but also compete in a way?
No, I wouldn't say compete. It's the business consultants' view on it. We see it's more of a collaboration. We see an arena where the greenest ideas and solutions gather, but not compete. It's more about collaboration. We think if we're looking at the global market today, if we're looking from only the company side, the market is so big that there is no need for competition even in this. So we have competing companies as members and partners and exhibitors and delegation partners, because the market is much bigger than Swedish company can manage anyway, or Nordic companies. Mm-hmm. And we also see the arena idea is that when we started this 2015, then we've been working with projects all over the world for many years, going around touring Swedish embassies with clean tech for healthcare, what we called it when we brought company solutions. Then we saw that everyone was sitting in their own bubble or their own silo, so to say. The medtech companies were sitting in their silo, and the ICT companies in their silo, and the clean tech company were sitting in their silo. And there's quite strong forces to protect those silos. Everyone working with clusters or funding and so on, they have their silo that they want to protect. But we see that sustainable healthcare is something that goes cross-sectoral with all these different old silos or old industries or old innovation fields or whatever you need to call them. So with an arena, we mean something that spans over all this and invites everyone. And in many cases, a medtech company has more in common with a clean tech company if both of them are working with a sustainability edge towards healthcare sector. So we have seen many, many fruitful collaborations happening due to the fact that we have this arena, as we call it, with cross-silo cooperation, or what we can call it.
I like the fact that you are alluding to concrete kind of projects and initiatives that are spinning out of that arena and that togetherness. And for me, one of the most intriguing projects of your organization is, quote unquote, the world's greenest hospital, with a name that I probably will need you to help me with. I would pronounce it Rönköping. And it's supposed to be a digital hospital that is ready to operate in 2025 and supposedly will showcase the greenest solutions for healthcare, such as energy and waste solutions or sustainable architecture and construction. Would you mind explaining this a bit further and also what digital hospital means?
Yeah, Grönköping, or how we now pronounce it, is a fictive online hospital that we created a couple of years back because we saw the need of hospitals and regions to know what's on the market, because everyone is struggling to find solutions towards becoming greener. But there's a lack of, you know, mismatch between the solutions existing and the demand from the organizations. And there's also the other thing is that people are always looking into the future. What is the vision? Where will we be in 5 years? Everyone is looking forward. In the world's greenest hospital, we only have solutions that exist already today and have a reference. So you can go and see them somewhere in the Nordics. So we are bringing in the best solutions, basically, that are installed in some Nordic hospital somewhere. You can call someone, you can go and see it, and you can actually order those things today. It's not visionary in the future and so on, innovation needed. So the basic idea, and that's why I earlier said I'm quite optimistic, is that you can build the world's greenest hospital quite easy today with existing solutions. And you can even go and see those solutions and talk to people before you do it. And the name, Grönköping, we put that together with all the Nordic languages, so it's quite a fun learning exercise when I do this with an audience. But first we have grön, it's the Danish word for green. And if you add an N to grön, then you get grön. Sounds much happier. It's the Norwegian word for green. Köping is a very common part of Swedish city name. Ki is a part of the word for city in Finnish, but also Helsinki, the capital of Finland. And then the letter the that we have in the end is an old ancient letter that we had in Sweden also back hundreds of years ago. But now that letter only exists on Iceland, so it's pronounced like something. So Grönköping, maybe you should pronounce it. That's the greenest hospital in the world, and we are updating it continuously with the green solutions or sustainable solutions that we find here on the Nordic markets.
Well, thanks for sharing also the background to the name. It sounds really multinational and also brings together, as you said before a couple of times, reusing what great initiatives and examples and experience is rather than reinventing. So I like that a lot. One of the areas that is obviously most promising as a lever in healthcare to better treat and prevent diseases is digitization. Also, the rise of Gen AI has increased the pace of digital advancements in healthcare even more these days. The possibilities of artificial intelligence solutions in healthcare, to me at least, seem abundant. And what, in your opinion, what role can technology play in driving also sustainability in healthcare? Are there any innovative solutions or digital tools that you believe have the potential to really make a significant impact?
Yes, of course. Digitalization is a key factor when it comes to bringing healthcare into the more sustainable side. First, also, it's not only about the patient and digitalization, also about data from energy and waste and pharmaceuticals and wastewater and all those kinds of data, how the ventilation runs. So we see the term health data in a wider sense. It's not just journals for patients or data regarded to the treatment or the health status of the patient, but is also a lot of other things, and that needs to be sorted out. And we are involved in some projects looking into that, but how do you divide those data and how can you use all those data for, I don't know, the wastewater treatment plant needs to know what prescriptions there are in the city right now to optimize the cleaning of the wastewater. And you have direct systems for chemical management and document management and energy efficiency and so on. So that's are the direct ones. Second, the digitalization people looking at this is a lot into e-health and telemedicine and so on, with all the advantages we can get from that. Easiest to explain, a patient can do stay at home more. You get less travel. You can get maybe surveillance and talk to doctors and so on from home in a larger extent. And that's good. You save some travel and such. But then if you're looking at it on a little bigger scale, you also save things at the hospital. You don't have to go to the doctor or the primary care centers. You don't have to clean it as much as you would if all the patients went there. Or you probably won't use as much energy. So besides the transportation, we'll reduce a bit of resources at the hospital or at the primary care center, of course. But the big impact of digitalization, I would say, is if you're looking at that even bigger, because if you're looking at the developing world and you're looking at middle-income countries, there are thousands of hospitals being built the next coming years. And there, digitalization can play a much, much larger role. If you imagine 1,000 hospitals being built somewhere in the world or in many places in the world, but you only need to build 800 of them because you can solve 200 with digitalization, because you can move some of the practices to home or to online. There is the big savings, those 200 hospitals that we don't need to build in the future. So there is a lot of advantages in digitalization. You mean a lot of different things, and we just touched upon it, and I'm not a super expert on digitalization, but it's from tools used in your daily routines for working with sustainability in hospital. It's tools for patients, but it's also tools for measuring and how to make innovation. Looking at the larger picture, it's about actually not having to build all the hospitals that we need to build and still provide the same amount of care.
Yeah, so saying quality of care and quantity of care while preventing infrastructure and replacing infrastructure by digital means, that's to be perceived one of the levers, what I'm hearing. Obviously, sustainability in healthcare does not only imply a greener hospital infrastructure, such as energy efficiency, innovative construction materials, like replacing concrete, or even smart waste management. It's also about making the core of healthcare, hence diagnosis, treatment, and prevention of diseases and injuries, more sustainable. What are, from your perspective, potential benefits of adopting sustainable practices in healthcare beyond environmental impact? And how can these sustainability efforts contribute to improve patient outcomes, but also at the same time, probably overall healthcare quality?
Yeah, it's of course all linked together in different ways. And we usually divide the topic into sustainable health. It's about health prevention and preventing disease, less obesity and those kinds of things, quit smoking and so on. And we are not working with that. Others are doing it and doing a fantastic work. We frame it as we work with sustainable healthcare, the healthcare to be as sustainable as possible when you get sick. And then we have a third one we define as environmental health. It's the science of how you study why someone gets sick from environmental impact, like mercury in fish and those kinds of things. So those we see this as three, but they are very, very interlinked, of course, and we need to work together. But to cut it short, if you have less environmental harm, then you get less diseases that are related to environmental, and then you get less patients, and then less cost for society and the environment, then you have less impact from the hospital. But if you're looking at the direct things like green gardens, full spectrum, LED lighting, organic food, etc., there are studies to show that it also improves the care of the patient. If you're looking at the developing world rather than here in the Western world, course, if you have removing toxic waste and toxic chemicals, if you remove fossil fuel exhaust in the area of the hospital, of course, that also have a positive impact on the patients. But we see bigger thing is the hospital is a huge part of what we call talking about smart cities today or smart sustainable cities, but it's a link from public transportation and the waste system in the system and so on. And the hospital, we see it is a leverage for actually implementing green solutions in a larger sense. I also see the innovation that comes out collaborating over these different fields. They are not medtech, it's medtech, it's clean tech, it's building, it's architecture. There, that leads to innovation that also can be applied elsewhere in society. And of course, better work environment for staff in different ways. And the hospital also has a role model. Most people visit hospitals at least once or twice during their lifetime, much more, of course. But the hospital as a role model actually have quite an impact on society itself. But we also see that if you're looking at the resilience or the robustness of the hospital, there has come to a lot of discussions now with COVID and different wars going on in the world and disrupted logistics chains and so on. We see there's a strong link between resilience and robustness and sustainability. Are you using, you know, single-use operation clothing, or are you making laundry at your own hospital? Are you waiting in the harbor for a ship during COVID? Or do you manage to handle your own laundry at site at the hospital? Of course, that's one example where sustainability and resilience goes hand in hand. Are you using sterilization for equipment, or are you using single-use and waiting for the next boat from somewhere? Do you have local energy grids so you can operate the hospital even if there's an energy shortage somewhere, a wildfire or something? Can you still operate the hospital, or are you dependent on external energy? So sustainability can also be a part of resilience and even how to provide healthcare at all in crisis, because it depends on better use of resources. It's the same thing, basically, resilience and sustainability. And better use of resource is what we call sustainable healthcare. So many of these things go hand in hand and are very interlinked in each other.
Appreciating that, obviously, sustainability is a multifaceted area and topic to tackle, and you are bringing in your so-called arena different stakeholders with sometimes obviously also diverting interests, I guess. What are kind of the major hurdles and challenges that you are facing when you bring together all those different perspectives from industry players, academics, hospitals, regulatory and policy shapers? I mean, what are the biggest challenges that you are facing, if I may just ask you that?
Yeah, I think that one of the biggest problems in developing this is actually people are claiming their position, so to say. People are sitting in their silos or in the bubbles and so on, and they are quite, you know, want to keep things as they are, so to say.
Okay.
That goes from the governmental side when you're looking at different agencies with different responsibilities. They are afraid to step on someone else's toe, or that is not our assignment. So the system is often rigged for not collaborating. Even if everyone says we should collaborate and we should be working internationally, most systems are not rigged for that. And this even goes for funding and, you know, clusters and networks are very specific, you know. They are clusters for very specific parts of society. They can be quite protective. And it's the same goes if you're looking into a hospital, that if you put in a sustainability function, a sustainability person who is then going to, you know, add things on there, that you have a security manager or you have a facility manager and you have the medical side and so on. It's not an easy job to manage all these wills and, you know, egos in sometimes, basically. But sustainability is cross-sectoral. It goes to, we need to treat it like that, and we need to work it with it from that view. And that's why we say often that sustainable healthcare is a new industry that is separate from the old industry. It is a new innovation field, and it's a new research area.
So thanks for sharing that. And it really sounds like a needed but also heroic job of bringing those interesting but sometimes also diverging interests together and trying still to maneuver it and increase and improve over time. It's very intriguing for me also having you as an expert in this field to ask, how far are we towards a, let's say, fully sustainable healthcare? I know that obviously sustainability and technology that we're having at hand might change over time, but if there would be kind of a 100% sustainable healthcare, in your perspective, from what you're seeing in the Nordics, but also globally, how far are we in sustainability in healthcare? Are we more in the lower third, in the more middle third, or even the higher third of sustainability that you're perceiving?
Yeah, that's, of course, a very hard question to answer. And that where you are in the world, of course. And I would say on the higher third, it's mainly the Nordics that are the front runners and the Netherlands. If you Google, you will find a lot from UK and US, Canada, Australia and so on, because they write in English and we write in Netherlands, Dutch and Finnish and Swedish. So we have not been that good at marketing what's happening out there. We try to change that. So that's, of course, and if you're looking at different aspects, like we have hospital buildings that are plus energy today. So it exists hospital buildings that produce more energy than they consume. It exists hospitals in Denmark that has 100% organic food in cantina. There exist hospitals that are very, very good at recycling and have a very good streamline. And it exists, you know, wastewater treatment plant, at least one that can take care of all the pharmaceuticals in the wastewater. So we have, but we don't, we have all these bits and pieces, but we don't have it in the same place. So bringing that all together gets us quite sustainable, but to be 100% sustainable, I don't think healthcare ever would be, and maybe shouldn't be either. Mm. If we're looking at where do we need to consume resources and where would we allow maybe to have some dangerous chemicals, like most many pharmaceuticals are chemicals, and some of them are quite harmful. Where in society should we allow to have this? Probably healthcare. So if we're looking at the future, maybe other sectors also. I listened to someone at a conference who said that if we're looking at this, we maybe lower as much as we can for healthcare side, but maybe healthcare needs to have impact, so to say, in a negative way. So maybe others need to contribute more for things we don't need as much as healthcare. Did that make sense? Or did I...
It does make sense to get that reflection. And when listening to kind of the more advanced ones, it's not surprising to see more the Western, the more developed healthcare systems from the Nordics, the Dutch, US, UK, and the alike. But you also recently, in one of the earlier questions, touched upon middle-income countries, low- to middle-income countries even. That's also why I was very interested in understanding a bit better that recently the Indian state Himachal Pradesh announced that they plan to set up a Green Hospital together with your organization, the NCSH. And you were part of the delegation on the ground, actually. And the aim is, from what I understand, not to only provide eco-friendly healthcare, but also to foster access to affordable healthcare for many more people. And in this context, sustainability is not limited to environmental aspects, but also to the broader ESG dimensions, including governance and social issues. What, if I may, is the role of the NCSH in this project, and what are the biggest challenges and opportunities arising from this green hospital project in India?
Yes, this is something we are working with. First of all, the Himachal that they're working with green hospitals, it's from their side. And there are laws in India now that it should work with green hospitals when they're building new ones. So they're quite advanced on the goals, on the legal side and so on. And this project we have developed with Mamta, an organization with 800 people in India that are working with different healthcare issues, NGO. And we are developing a model. So we have been to Himachal Pradesh, Shimla, and we have been to Uttar Pradesh and Gorakhpur, actually to develop a method where we're looking at. The method we have is based on my 20 years of audits and legal compliance and all the business. We've developed quite an extensive model that we are testing. It's a audit model and its a report model, and then a gap analysis towards the best practice. In this case, many, for example, those solutions going to pick and others happening in audits. And we are just about to present the results for the state leads in those two states. And just to grasp the scale of it, Himachal Pradesh, I think they have 8-9 million inhabitants. They are more or less like Sweden. And Uttar Pradesh has 230 million inhabitants and going to build enormous amounts of hospitals in the near future. And they want them to become green. And this is something we discussed earlier, or we in the Nordics, we're too small to make an impact. It doesn't matter how good I am as a private person or how good we are in the Nordics on sustainable healthcare. We're 25 million people in the Nordics. We need to internationalize these things to make an impact.
So Daniel, you actually founded the Nordic Center for Sustainable Health back in 2015. So next year, 2025, you'll be celebrating your 10th anniversary already. Fast forwarding from there, in your perspective, from having seen a lot over the last 20 years, what are the biggest innovations in sustainability within healthcare that you would envisage to come in the next, let's say, 5 to 10 years from now? What are the biggest leaps that will be seen?
I don't think there are any specific leaps just addressed to sustainable healthcare. It's a lot of things are quite similar to society in general. Of course, there are specific issues in healthcare like infectious waste, and you have different certain chemicals being used and pharma and so on. But I think the healthcare will move along with the rest of society and hopefully in some cases be a role model to actually be the one leading the way forward. But the biggest issues that will be addressed is, I think, climate, of course. You will look at resilience, how to actually tackle the challenges with changing climate, heat waves and flooding and so on. So hospitals also need to be on that side, prevent for that one. Also working with the positive side on better energy systems, everything from more effective system to geothermal energy to solar and so on, and ventilation and everything. I think also climate issue will affect the supply chain, where you are pushing the responsibilities further down the supply chain. And we see that in UK, for example, now with NHS, that in a few years we'll have you need to have the climate calculations ready when you're entering the UK market already next year for the biggest company. And that means also that climate impact will be a part of the procurement process in a much a more visible way than it has been before. But also things like refrigerants in pumps and materials and so on are linked to the climate and how you build and construct the hospitals. Another thing we did a survey a few years back with all the sustainability officers at university hospitals in the Nordic. The number one ranked question for them to work with was pharmaceuticals and the environment. And this question would, of course, it also, because we are quite advanced when it comes to sustainable healthcare, so this issue has risen, and you would probably get another answer if you're looking in other countries. But here it was pharma in wastewater, and here there is a lot of new innovations needed from the lower side. How do we clean wastewater, end of pipe solution? How do we get rid of pharmaceuticals in the wastewater? Because everything we eat goes out with urine and goes into the wastewater. How can we look at smaller scale in hospitals? How can we change administrative methods so we don't get pharma residues from administrating pharma, or even who should get pharmas? You know, who are we supposed to give people pharma for everything when we see there is a high impact in the nature? What is that? It goes in nature, and it's quite big. You find pharma in drinking water, in surface water, you find it everywhere. And is it then, should you eat something the rest of your life every day just because you are maybe eating too much food? Or should we help people to change those habits? We were discussing with sustainable health before. So maybe preventing people from eating pharmaceuticals in different ways. And also, I think there will be a bigger impact on the supply chain. Mm-hmm. Everyone working with or supplying to hospitals will have to, if they have not already, will have to target sustainability. And you will not get procured otherwise if you don't have this. You already today need to follow rich legislation, rules and reach, and there are different types of and code of conduct on supply chain and so on. And I think there will be a stronger focus on following up of these and see that you really comply. Already today, there are regions and hospitals that go way further than legislations. So you might be following European legislations, but you still want to be procured because hospitals and regions have more far-reaching goals than the legislations put out in Brussels. So if you're not working with this, it's quite the time to do so.
No, very interesting. And thanks for that, Daniel. Really appreciate your perspective on sustainability in healthcare, and in particular, your optimistic mindset, as we defined it earlier. Also, you saying it's never been easier to tackle it, and also openness from diverse stakeholders to pulling together when it comes to sustainability, and also many, many learnings that are there that can be used and should be used for doing better in future. What really intrigued me is scaling from established systems such as the Nordics into other countries such as India, and digitizing wherever possible rather than building infrastructure. And also the perspective that you brought, less environmental harm, meaning less diseases, meaning less cost, and hence more sustainability for us as society, is something to really keep in mind and watch out for. So that said, Daniel, again, big thanks from my end, and very warm greetings to Malmö.
Thank you very much.
So thanks everyone for tuning in today. I do hope you enjoyed today's dialogues around the sustainability in healthcare as much as I did. And in case you're interested in any other untouched area around the future of healthcare, please feel free to leave a comment on the platform of your choice, and we'll dive into that in one of our upcoming episodes. So that said, stay tuned and healthy.
Strategy and Strategy made real.